back on Tell the Band to Go Home. We got guests aplenty. They're all in town and all working hard for Rami Mays, who's cracking the whip. She's recording a new record, but we'll dip back into our little homemade one with this. Could we call this a crowd favorite? Everybody seems to react well to this. Would you call it that? Yeah. All right. Styx and BTO. I went to see Randy Bachman last night.
A song about making fun of him?
We didn't. That didn't come up in conversation.
Oh, that's what I would tell him if I.
Anyways, we'll play it. We'll be back to chat in a couple minutes. You done called on me on Thursday. Rami Mays and her temporarily employed there from the living room sessions. That was volume one. I assume that this new record you're working on is not being recorded in your living room.
No, and it's not called volume two either.
No?
No. I thought volume one was just a witty start.
Anyways, welcome back, Rami. How's it going?
Good, man. Good to see you, Jeff.
Working hard on the new record, I understand?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's going well.
Full days.
Yeah.
Since when did you get in, Gurf? Like on Tuesday?
I got in on Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, so we started right. Well, Gurf had a bad experience with Northwest Airlines actually on Monday.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Well, my plane didn't leave, so sat in the airport for 6 hours and then went home.
Yeah.
I had to sleep for like three and get up and try it again. So.
And then, yeah, and then in the morning when he got, or in the afternoon when he got here, we just went straight to the studio and started as if we hadn't missed a day. So, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Today's day six? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah, today's day six.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when do you go home? How long are you here for?
I think it's on the 27th.
27th. Yeah, that's my birthday, by the way. So, yeah. Just thought you should know that.
Well, if you're at the airport celebrating, I'll say hi to you.
You do have some things coming up before then, though. You got of course, we're here more or less to talk about the 23rd. You're playing at the High and Lonesome Club.
Yeah, well, I think it'd be foolish to have Griffin Winnipeg and not have him come out to where a bunch of people would appreciate seeing him.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fantastic opportunity. So thanks for making it happen, because I'm excited.
Yeah.
And I know lots of other people as well, so that's very exciting.
Absolutely.
So anyways, 23rd, right? High and Lonesome Club?
Yeah, I'm not really sure the format of what we're going to do. I know that the Rangers will be back in town this week, so they want to be a part of that. And and Gurf, of course, and Scott Nolan will be doing some songs. He's the bass player on the album as well. So, and then, of course, there's Chris Carmichael here and Dan Walsh, who's been in town forever, living out of my basement. I can't get rid of him. And, there'll be, you know, an entourage of people. We've just been talking about maybe getting Righteous Ike to come up and do some songs. I have to run it past him and see if he's around. But so it's, I think the night sort of was John's idea to get us out of the studio and call it Rami Mays and Friends.
Right.
But I'm not sure exactly how we're going to run it, but I definitely want Gurf to do some songs and
excellent
stuff like that.
So what have you been up to since the last time we talked? Have you been touring a lot? Or
I haven't really stopped, I don't think, since I saw you last. Yeah, it's been really busy. It's been smoking busy. Maybe busier than I wanted it to be, but it's can't complain, really. I don't know, when was I last here?
It wasn't that long ago, but
a few months or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I did the whole Texas thing. I went down for South by Southwest and did a couple weeks in Texas and did the Fred Eagle Smith Roots on the Rails through the Rockies.
Oh, how fun must that
have
been?
That was the best thing that I've ever done in my life.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I didn't want to get off the train, actually.
I can imagine.
Was so much fun. The highlight was pretty much that it was Washboard Hank and Lance Lurie and myself and Hayes Carl. That was the entertainment outside of Fred Eagle Smith. And so Hayes Carl, I'm a huge fan. Like, I love his stuff so much. So I got to do a lot of singing with him for his sets, and we jammed a lot, and I actually started writing a song on his guitar while he had a nap, and, you know, that kind of stuff. So it was pretty cool.
That's
I
amazing.
Just really enjoyed that, yeah.
And then, so you've been, have you had time to, I mean, were all the songs ready to go for the new record, or did you take time off to write some songs, to polish them up
before? No, not really. There was some other stuff, actually, that I wanted to try and finish before this album, because I had started writing riffs, you know, which I don't usually do. But I had some cool ideas with some riffs, but I never really had time to put them together. I think since the Living Room Sessions, which was February 2005, to now, or to a couple months ago at least, that's when most of the songs had been written. But there was a section last fall where a handful came out, and I knew I was ready for another album. I would be ready this year.
Right.
So it was sort of, just over the year.
Right. So, I mean, obviously you have a good idea of what you want to do when you get to work with a guy like Gurf Morlix.
Let's talk about him like he's not here.
Let's talk about him like he's not here. So,
bad guy, I'm telling you.
Right. Obviously you have some idea what you want the record to sound like, what you want the songs to sound like. From your perspective, what is his job then?
Well, to be honest, the most beautiful part about it was I didn't really have too much preconceived. I knew I had these songs, and I knew that Gurf said he liked them, and he was interested in working on the album. But when we met up in Austin, and we hung out at his place there to try and do a little bit of pre-production time. We only had a couple hours to really work on it.
Right.
You know, it was mostly just hearing his take on how he heard it, because I definitely couldn't produce my own album full band.
Right.
I haven't had enough experience with a full band to really orchestrate that. And I knew that the sound that Gurf, like, I don't know, just like this, I don't know, just the drum sort of sounds
and
the push and the groove that I couldn't come up with, I needed help with.
Right.
So that's sort of what I was hoping, and it's, you know, in the last 6 days, it's that in tenfold. Like, I'm really stoked at what's coming out right now.
Right.
And I know that having a team like Scott Nolan and Chris Carmichael and Dan Walsh to put it together, plus Gurf's playing on the album as well now. I mean, those guys are also talented that all it takes is just the idea and then it can come out of them. So basically, there's a couple songs I'm listening to that as they're being recorded and the layers are being added that I don't feel like I've written. I don't remember writing them quite like that.
Kind of get away from you.
Well, it's good, though, because I really needed the help. I did, and that's why I wanted Gurf to come and help me with this.
excuse me. Hopefully it didn't take you long to decide to hire Gurf. But, like, what kinds of things do you look at when you're going for a producer? Like, did you kind of interview different people, or was it a pretty
I actually only spoke to two different producers before I spoke with Gurf. And really, to me, like, you're a dream producer. Like, I didn't really think that was actually a tangible opportunity for me. I just thought, well, that would be cool. And I kind of laughed, you know, like, as if almost, you know.
Yeah.
But I talked to a couple guys, and I didn't really know what I wanted, but I knew I wanted to talk to them. And just, it wasn't like an interview, but I talked to this one guy, I guess I'll just leave him nameless, for about, you know, a half hour, an hour on the phone. And I knew, even though he had worked with some great people and it would be good for my profile and blah, 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 we weren't on the same page.
Right.
And I just knew that we weren't seeing it clearly. I just have an idea about music and that wasn't matching his. And then Dan Walsh actually sent some stuff to Gurf for me and said, check this stuff out. So I owe him a lot for that. And to my surprise and my excitement, Gurf was interested. And then when we spoke on the phone, when you and I spoke on the phone, we got along really well and had the same ideas. So that sold me for sure. You know, if no matter who Gurf Morlux was to me, you know, or who he'd worked with, or if we hadn't had that great conversation, I don't know if it would have moved forward, you know.
And for folks that don't know, Gurf is you're like a who's who of my record collection. I was going through the records that you've played on or produced, and I think I brought about 20 CDs just that had your name on it. I mean, everybody that I think you played with Robert Earl Keen and Lucinda and Slate Cleaves and Mary Gaucher and all kinds of people, Peter Case, and all kinds of great people that I know and love. So if folks don't know you, I mean, that's sort of a brief introduction.
Well, I've been around doing this for quite a while now and been really lucky to make some records with some really great songwriters.
Right. Now, when you started out, I don't know many people that start out trying to be known as a producer. Like, was the goal to be a solo artist, or what was your idea?
I knew that I could produce. I was working with Lucinda in L.A. in 1987 or so, and we were playing these dingy little gigs and getting paid like $4 for the whole band, you know, a dollar a piece. And I was trying to figure out a way to quit. We'd been doing it for a couple of years, and I got to call her and tell her I can't do this anymore. And then she called up one day and said, we got a record deal. Who can we get to produce? And I said, well, I'll do it. And I knew that I could, and then I sort of slowly pulled my foot out of my mouth, and it came out fine. I mean, everybody likes that record.
Well, it's a fantastic record.
And then that just kind of turned into more work, and I found out that I really liked doing it. So,
had you spent much time in the studio before that? Like, how did you know you could do it?
Yeah, you know, I'd had tape recorders and microphones all my life, and I kind of knew how to do it. I'd had some personal experience, you know, just recording myself.
Yeah.
And, I'd only been in a studio one or two times really before then, but I knew what was going on, and it was pretty easy.
So you've sort of become known more for your stuff behind the scenes than for your own stuff. But did you start out as a singer songwriter? Like, were you writing your own songs?
I was writing my own songs for the last 30 years or so.
Yeah.
But I always would, you know, I'd be playing with people like Lucinda, and then I would have to like compare my songs to her songs. That's pretty tough, you know.
Yeah.
So I just like threw them away for a lot of years. I wouldn't play them for people, and then finally, you know, it was just like 5 or 6 years ago, I started feeling like I maybe had something to say and recorded some stuff and played it for some friends, and they prodded me into putting it out. So.
Well, you've got just the three records now, right?
Yeah.
Three fine records, and they are all fairly recent, I suppose, hey? How do you choose who to work with? Like, when Rami Mays calls you up and says, I want to work with you, like, what is your criteria for for who you work with? Is it just bags of cash? Did she send you bags of...
Because I have $6 million.
No, I can't be bought, actually, Jeff. I'm real picky about what I take on, and it pretty much boils down to the songs most of the time for me. That's what I tell people anyhow, and I have to feel like I can... First of all, I have to feel like I can sit there every day for 2 or 3 weeks and listen to it yeah. without just burying my head in my yeah. hands, and I have to feel like I can just have something I can sink my teeth into and help it shape. And so I end up turning down way more stuff than I take. I probably turn down 2 to 1.
Right.
But it can be the songs. I'm always looking for good songs. I mean, that's basically the deal. But it could also be like a band that has a really cool tone to it, or a really good guitar player, or, you know, something has to be right, you know, and it has to be organic for me.
And it's just interesting to me how you work with such a wide range of people. I mean, no offense to Rami, but she's not quite at the level of you know, like a Mary Gaucher or a Lucinda or all kinds of people yet. Right?
She's got some songs that remind me a lot of some of Mary's songs. I mean, there's some really good songwriting on this album.
So. Yeah, for sure. But I mean, it's interesting to me how you work with independent artists who aren't as well known, but at the same time, you also do things that, you know, people that are more well known. You've done some great records with Sleep Thieves and Mary.
Well, Fair. I'm basically just interested in making good albums. And
yeah,
it doesn't matter who it is, as long as it's going to be art, I'm there. So.
That's great. So, I mean, obviously, is that how you spend most of your time now? Is producing records? That's sort of the bread and butter.
The last couple of years, I started doing some solo gigs and found that I really like that, but I don't have that much time.
Right.
To do that, I got a new record finished, and that's going to come out in January, and I'm going to actually be doing some touring for that thing, because I like these new songs a lot. I feel like I owe it to the songs to at least get out there. You know, when I put those other records out, I thought maybe I could maintain the mystery, and you know, if I did do a gig, have it be something special. But the maintaining the mystery thing worked way too well.
Right. The records, you put them all out yourself, is that right?
Well, no, the first two were on a label called Catamount, and the last one and the next one are on a label called Blue Corn out of Houston.
Okay. So, I mean, what's, for a guy that doesn't play out a lot, what, like, do you get played on the record or on the radio? I mean, how does your stuff, or does your sort of reputation precede you?
I don't know how all
get
that
to know
works.
You that way?
You know, I guess some people know who I am from hearing some of those other records, and hopefully there's some interest for that. And it got a fair amount of radio play, I think. And
that's good. When you play, do you play with, do you have your own band?
Sometimes I use a band, yeah. I've got a band, guys from Austin that I like a lot, and most of the guys have played on my records, and then sometimes I've been playing by myself, which I find that I really like. So.
Right. You mentioned Austin. You're from Texas, of course, and work with so many people so close to home. How did Rami talk you into coming to Winnipeg, which is pretty far removed from Texas?
I said May instead of February.
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked to have done this record in Austin, but then we wouldn't have had Chris and Dan and Scott and so that worked out fine. But she, Dan sent me the stuff and I listened to it. And I said, yeah, I definitely could do that. And when I talked to Rami, and she said, well, we have to make it up here. And I said, well, that's fine. I love Canada. First of all, I spend a lot of my time in Canada. Spend all my summers in Canada.
Oh, really?
In Ontario. And I'd never really been to Winnipeg. I'd driven through here once about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, this is a great opportunity to come see the city and hang out a little. And
for sure. You mentioned Dan Walsh. Did you meet him sort of through his work with Fred?
Yeah.
And so what? How does your relationship with Fred go? I know you've done some work with some sort of Fred related artists, but and you've played some of the Fred Eaglesmith weekends.
I've been playing
stuff.
Some of these Fred picnics in Ontario the last couple of years, and really enjoying those. They're really fun.
And again, this year, I understand, right?
Yeah, I'm playing his Northern picnic this year, which I haven't done yet.
That's good. So once you make friends with the Fredheads, then you've got a pretty devoted audience that all of a sudden
Amen.
Knows your name.
Eh? Yeah. And, you know, I play those picnics in Ontario, and there's people from Austin there, and there's people from Europe that I know that show up for those things. They come from all over the world. It's really great.
That's fantastic. Well, Gurf, if you don't mind, would you mind singing us a song? I know you got a guitar
I'd love to sing a song here.
I'd love to hear it.
Pull up another mic, or will this work the way it is?
Whatever you like. You can sort of move it down closer to the guitar and then sing over it, or else you can pull that other one over.
Let me stand up here. That's going to be good.
There we go. We'll edit this out later before it goes to air.
Okay, this will work. This is a song that's going to be on my new record. And it's a song that I wrote with a friend of mine named Troy Campbell, and it's also on Troy's record, and it's called Killing Time in Texas. And Texas is kind of the capital punishment, capital of America. So this song just kind of popped out one day. Sister, tell me what Mama has done with the money I left from selling off the gun. Now I got 1 year and 5 days clean, but 1,000 more nights I lost in between. With your mama's eyes and your daddy's disease, brother, don't go making mistakes like me. The Oklahoma Speedway will only make you mean. Get out while you can in your highway machine. Killing time in Texas, playing what I know. Killing time in Texas, I'm going where the blue northers blow. What I did I can't recall. I was driving blind, headed for the wall. Now I'll give all I got to pay for my sins. Whatever's left over, just throw it in. Killing time in Texas, paying what I owe. Killing time in Texas, I'm going where the blue northers blow. And the world is full of fools who never had a chance except by breaking the rules. Now this door will slide and the sky will open wide, and I'll be back home in Tulsa at a minute past midnight. Killing time in Texas, praying as I go. Killing time in Texas.
I'm in Texas, praying as I go, killing time in Texas. I'm going where the blue north is blowing.
Very, very nice indeed.
Hey, thanks.
While you're standing, do you want to do just one more and then we can sit down and relax?
Sure.
Do you mind?
I don't mind at all. I like playing my songs.
Excellent. Well, you've come to the right place.
Yeah. Rami, you want to sing with me on this?
Yeah, but I'll just do like a super back.
No, just don't be shy.
Oh, that's a big, big harmony.
You just get right up on there and do this.
I wasn't nailing it either. Try it.
I wrote this song for a couple of friends of mine, and one of them was Warren Zevon, who I'm sure you're familiar with. And Warren was just a class act, and he was very inspiring in the way he went out to me. And the other person that I wrote this about was my friend Chris from Philadelphia. And Chris was a roadie, and his last gig was stage manager for the Grateful Dead. And when he found out he was going to die, his last wish was to be cremated and have his ashes built into a road case. And so they've done this, and he's out touring around for forever. And so I wrote it for him and for Warren. I've been up, I've been down, I've been spinning all around. I've been lost, I've been found, but now I'm headed for higher ground. You could be quick, you could be slow, you might be high, or you could be low, but there's something you can never know. That's how you'll feel when the anchor lets go. I never wondered about how it would be. I wandered the world like I was holding the key. I'm beginning to shiver, I'm beginning to see. If you can find a blanket, you put it on me. I can't help thinking it's gotta be wrong. It ain't me, it's not my song. I ain't ready, I ain't strong, but time don't wait, it just chugs along. I never wondered about how it would be. I wandered the world like I was holding the key. I'm beginning to shiver, I'm beginning to see. Do you bring me a blanket?
put it on me. Colors never had such sight, and all the sounds are so crisp and bright. As daylight passes into night, I'm hearing music. I think I see the light. I never wondered about how it would be. I wandered the world like I was holding the key. I'm beginning to shiver. I'm beginning to see. You can find a blanket, won't you put it on me? I'm beginning to shiver. I'm beginning to see. Won't you bring me a blanket? Won't you put it on me?
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you very much, Rami. You're obviously an experienced, talented, and capable performer and songwriter. You've been around the block a few times, but when you first go to play your songs for Gurf Morlix, do you get nervous? Do you go like,
you know what?
Oh my God, are these songs any good?
There was one time when I was nervous, and it was silly though, but it was because I was out of my element a bit too, and it was in Austin, and I knew we went and we were seeing the Roger Maron Band, and Scott Nolan was opening for them in Texas. And it was our first time like going out for, oh no, not really actually, we met for a couple of times there, but we went out and Roger Maron Band called me up to try some songs with them, and they didn't really know my songs either, and I wasn't really sure what was going to happen. So I was a little bit uncomfortable as it was, but then yeah. I thought that was the first time you're ever going to see me on stage. And I remember I wasn't really nervous, but I was really aware. Gurf's watching me and I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, yeah. One thing I've learned, years, none of that matters.
Yeah, in
none
the end,
of it matters. Nobody's thinking anything. You know?
You should hang out with Gurf in a studio, man. I've been worried I've been getting sick. I've been worried we're going to be late for this and stuff. And I'm just generally a bit more of a worrywart, you
yeah.
know. And the guy is so laid back. We'll be fine. It's just a record. It's just a gig. You'll be fine. Everything's going to be okay.
I'm right.
And you are right.
Of course.
It's good that you're around. If you were as apt and talented and able, but a little bit strung out, it would not be good for me. It would never work. I'd feed off that. Yeah,
but
you definitely
it would
calm me down.
Work really well, or it wouldn't work at all.
Yeah.
But what kind of feedback or assistance has he given you that's sort of helped you to get better? I'm hoping that you're learning a lot.
I am learning a lot. It's little things. I don't know if I could pinpoint and then to big things, but
yeah.
The little things, just as something as simple as if I'm in the, you know, we're doing the first couple takes, or just we're just starting to warm up and figure out what we're doing, and Gurf will come in and listen to a couple things that Chris and I had worked on before that we're starting to jam the song or something. And it would just be something as small sometimes as, you know, let that chord ring out there. Don't do a stop there.
Right.
That's a better idea. Or slow that down a bit. Or, you know, just the little things and learn, like just offering the craft of the song for sure.
Yeah.
And then as big as the guitar sounds that are going on the album, you know, like, and the spots they're going in, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Everything.
Are you pretty hands off about what people play and how they play them? Like do you give these guys a lot of assistance about, you know, what they should be doing, or you pretty much trust them to do their jobs?
Well, they're doing great. I don't have to give them hardly any direction. You know, I mean, these guys know what they're doing. My job is just to make sure everything sounds right. It's, you know, nothing on there that sticks out. Nothing, you know, just that it sounds organic.
Right.
And it's amazing how easy that is, but how most records I hear don't get that right, you know.
Right. someone who hasn't been in the studio a lot of times, though, like Rami hasn't been in the professional studios many times. Do they require a lot more sort of advice or assistance from you? Like, do you have to work harder on this record than you do on somebody who's been in the studio a lot of times?
No, the stuff that she's saying that I'm doing, that's just common sense. Yeah. You know, if somebody asks me a question, I'll have an opinion, you know.
Yeah. How do you make sure that the essence of what she is and what she should do comes through? Because I got to think that's a big part of your job, is making sure that the record sounds like it should sound she should sound.
My job is to make the record as good as it can be and make the artist satisfied. And I don't know, it just seems like common sense to me. It doesn't seem hard at all to me. You know? It's just
there's something about it, though, like you have a knack for getting the best out of the musician or the singer. I mean, just the vocal takes that I've been doing, for example, you know, like, you know, saying that was really good. You know, you're always really positive. That was good. Yeah. I think you could give that one a little bit more of what you know you want to give it. Yeah. So, you know, just but pulling the best out of me, you know,
right.
And stuff.
Well,
like
I think I have a good ear for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm, you do.
I know when stuff doesn't sound right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I sort of go in knowing what I think it should sound like, and then if it ends up sounding like that, then everything went well.
Yeah.
Right.
I think there was one night, I think I could quote Gerf Marlick's here, "We're geniuses," and he cheers to beer at the end of the night.
We are sheer geniuses.
We're geniuses. That was one of those high morale, particularly high morale successful days.
Right. Now, Scott and Chris, as guys who've been playing guitar for the long time, again, do you sort of learn anything or pick up any tricks when you're in the room with a guy who's been playing guitar for a long time?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's... when I first walked into the studio, he was playing along with Rami on a song, and there was just that sound that I've heard on a lot of records.
Yeah.
I just could have stood there and listened to him play for the whole day. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't play the stuff that you play. I'm sitting there in awe while you're playing.
Oh, man.
And Scott, too.
Yeah.
See, Gerf does really well with the stuff I like, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I really only had to be there for sections. Rami invited me and said, you know, if you want to be there for all of it, and I jumped on it, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's an energy thing, and you definitely, you know, I don't know how you couldn't pick up something from it.
For sure. Now, Scott, since I got you, we haven't talked to you in a while since your latest record came out. How did you, did the record bomb? Is that why you got to get a job with Rami Mays, huh?
Well. Well. Gonna just get right to it, eh? No, you know what? I've been on the road, I did some of the touring that I tend to do with the band in Western Canada mostly. We did an Eastern trip with the Derangers and Rami. And then I did a 30-day American, which was my first American tour. And pretty much came off of that. Did a 2-3-weeker with Rami. It was like a double bill again, just to get the musicians that were going to do the record. Spending lots of time and getting close. And came off the road, jumped right in the studio. Took a break to do the Bluegrass Festival yesterday, and it's been nonstop.
I'm just teasing the record Postcards. I don't think we've talked since it actually came out, but it is fantastic.
Which record? No Bourbon. You're talking about?
No. I always get that confused because my favorite song on the record is Postcards. I think so. Anyways, but No Bourbon and Bad Radio, and it's a fine record, and one that I think hopefully has done some good for you. Hopefully, some people are picking up on it.
Yeah, it's. It's definitely you know, it's all little steps.
Yeah.
Fred Eaglesmith said something to me interesting in Corpus Christi when we were down there on that tour. He said, you know, when all's said and done and I'm dead and gone, if you looked at my career on a graph, it would just be this slow, steady, even kind of thing. And I thought, you know,
that's true.
That's exactly what I feel, and I just never heard it articulated like that. And
yeah.
It is, you know, it's that kind of build. You can still have a career when you're 60.
Right. So that's the same kind of thing you're going for, is just
it's exactly.
And obviously you follow his model a lot, because you just tour.
Yeah.
And don't worry about too many
and hit all the little spots.
Yeah.
You know? The big cities, honestly, are most of the time I look way less forward to them than these little towns in between. I mean, a lot of bands skip over those areas for whatever reason, and honestly, that's where I make my living.
Those are some of the most rewarding shows, too,
Alberta's,
I understand, right?
And all these little nooks. And in the States, we did a lot of them. Like, we did over 2.5 weeks just in Texas. And we played some small, out-of-the-way places. And there was a pulse. Like, people were there for, especially for songwriters. I mean,
right.
That tradition that everybody talks about is true.
You
know,
sure.
They're happy with one guy and a guitar. And so it was a great, great thing for me to do.
Right.
refreshing.
I'm actually going to do it again in November. It's
excellent.
I'm pretty hooked on it.
So are you thinking ahead to another record yet, or?
Yeah, actually, there's lots of exciting things happening.
The last time you were here, I think you said you had two done, and one was going to come out.
Well, Transistor's going through a huge, exciting thing right now, and I won't say anything about it because it's not my story to tell, but there's cool stuff going on, and the label told me if I gave them a certain period of time with no bourbon, they would allow me to do what I think normally a bigger artist would get to do, which is I have two separate records, and I said, would I be out of my mind to ask you to release them? I mean, I don't sell enough units to warrant it, but they agreed. So,
well, that's great. Yeah, obviously, they have really a lot of faith in you, and that's
but that's a little ways off down the road for sure.
All right. Well, we'll be keeping an eye on you in the meantime. Anyways, Rami, you set up to go there?
Yeah, I was just thinking. I wanted to play a song that would be.
You fiddle with your mic a bit. I think we've lost it.
Hi.
No. The cord there. It's a little wonky. Actually, yours is even worse. We've totally lost yours too. So you have to fiddle with yours as well. I'm sorry.
Check.
For that's much better.
Test
our crude equipment
live
here.
Live radio, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go.
If we play in C, you can play harp, and we'll just.
Let me check.
And then, Griff, you can do percussive banging. Okay, we can put it maybe in the middle. Cause, oh no, yeah, right.
Chris has got one.
Did I just? Go. If I press that, does it?
No. That's okay.
It's not really my strap, so yeah, I guess it. Okay. I don't know if that's going to help. You hear that okay?
Yeah, that's much better. Much better.
Okay. Yeah, I'm hoping to get Scott to play harp on the album. We're not really at that stage yet where we're sure for the little embellishments, but when we've been doing a lot of shows lately, Scott's been playing bass with us, and he'll play harp here and there. Right. He hasn't played harp on this song, I don't think, but I'm glad that he brought them so he can play it now. And if you hear any hiccups or bangs, that'll be Gurf, his percussive element that he's going to add. And
C?
Oh, yes, in C. Yeah. All right, so I think I might have played this here now that I just think about it before, but it is going on the album, so it's called Smoke More Than I Drink. Haven't read a book for a while. My conscientiousness is on trial. I smoke more than I drink. I talk more than I think. I'm a child. Crumble when I stumble at my feet. My secrets, they're no longer discreet. I wish I ran around so my feet don't hit the ground, but I am beat. Your voice for some time. My memory's no longer on my mind. I start and then I quit, 'cause no one gives a shit, but I'll be fine. Been so long since I have seen you smile. My loneliness has long gone out of style. But if I could see your face, I would get up out of this place just for a while.
Gorgeous, gorgeous indeed. I don't know what to say after that. Do you want to do another one in quick succession?
Okay. Maybe Sweet Something Steady, actually, because Sweet Something Steady is the title track of the album, I think, now.
Nice.
So if I can start pushing Sweet Something Steady in people's brains now, maybe by the time they see the album, they'll have to have it.
Got the branding going.
This one sort of is more in the form of the last album. I have a couple songs on this album that are kind of still in that bluegrass vein, but the rest of them sort of took on some other shape, so that's cool. But this one's called Sweet Something Steady. It's got, yeah, Sweet Something Steady.
Well, I'm the Sweet Something Steady.
Yeah. You're my Sweet Something Steady.
All right.
Sweet.
What am I?
All right. Don't want no fancy diamonds, don't want your mother's pearls. Don't want you to tell me that I'm your only girl. Just want a man, come on by, pick me up and take me for a ride. Why can't you be my sweet something steady on the side? Don't need your folks for dinner, I don't need to impress. Don't need to walk the aisle, I don't need the fancy dress. I don't need to hear you love me while you look deep in my eyes. Why can't you be my sweet something steady on side? Please don't tell me your middle name. Don't tell me where you went to school. Don't come running to me in the rain. Gonna wind up somebody's fool. Don't call me in the daytime and ask about my day. Don't be sitting on my doorstep when you know that I'm away. Hear my body calling and you won't be denied. Why can't you be my sweet, sweet something steady on the side? Tell me I'm your only girl, just want a man. Come on by, pick me up and take me for a ride. Why can't you be my sweet something steady on the side? Well now, why can't you be my sweet something steady on the side?
Very, very nice. I like that indeed.
Yeah,
very
me nice. Too.
Now, Rami, you I understand you're not wasting any time getting this record out to folks, are you?
Well, I'm not actually going to be able to release it in Winnipeg because I won't really have a chance to until October. But it's going to be available right away, yeah. Because we're doing Calgary Folk
Fest. Like real quick?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, true enough.
It's mastered, it's manufactured, bring it on with you. Yeah, it's a... basically, if I didn't, Calgary Folk Fest is July, the end of July.
Right.
And we're doing South Country Fair right before that. I don't think I'll have it ready in time then.
Right.
But that was like a good goal, you know?
Yeah.
So Gerf leaves on the 27th, few days left for mastering, couple weeks for manufacturing. I should have them in hand and be able to take them there. So why would I waste time, really? I don't know.
Do you have the art and everything all ready
well,
to go?
Well, that's all in the go. Yeah, like these are all, I have a great team of people. It's, they're amazing. Brendan Nehinger's doing all the layout. Dustin Leader did my photos. Mandy Wallman's doing my publicity. Ironstone's doing my manufacturing, and they're all on board to make these things happen, you know, in this time frame.
You got the team.
Yeah, it's really great, really great. I love all those people that are great. So Scott Pinder's ready to master as soon as we're done mixing, and Gerf hops on a plane, and so it should be ready by available online and in through Festival Distribution, who's my distributor in Canada, right away.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I figure by August it should be, Festival should have them in hand and back into the stores. I do need a U.S. distributor, so, you know.
If anybody's listening.
Yeah. Well, I have to actually just shop it. I have to get that, once the album's done, get it out there and get a U.S. distribution deal.
Right.
Maybe Gerf can help me with that. Yeah.
Probably got a few connections here and there.
Yeah. If I pay him a, you know, fin every once in a while.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously you've got, like, pretty much a dream team assembled. I mean the guys in this room alone could make this record a success.
Well,
but
it's amazing actually what's happening in the studio, because we have Chris is doubling as the drummer and most of the guitars. Dan Walsh is playing, you know, guitar and dobro, and he played some lap steel, right?
Walsh could just stand there and it would sound good.
Yeah, I know, he's pretty sick. And Scott's been playing bass, and today he did a guitar track, and when the vocal harmonies start to come in, I'm expecting that we'll all be involved again. But it's basically these three amazing guys outside of Gerf, and Gerf as well, of course, playing instruments. But, you know, I had these three guys, and it's just, they're just covering all these grounds, and I'm really, really lucky, super lucky, and I don't take it for granted for 1 second.
So do you just hit the ground running after this and do more touring with the new record?
Yeah, like, I didn't really intend to, because I just got back. I thought, okay, I'll get back, make the album. But really, the push is there, and it's summertime. So there's a handful of festivals. But right away after Calgary Folk Fest, I'm doing a Southern Ontario to Quebec CD release tour.
Okay.
So, and I have a couple festivals out there, so I'll be busy. I'll be gone the whole month of August. I'm going to try and take September and October off, actually, just with some, you know, a couple weekends here and there. I do have a daughter that I'd like to see once in a while. You know, it's kind of starting to suck. Yeah. But I try and bring her when I can, but it's not always that feasible.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't really know what's going to happen until the album's out. The last year when I released the Living Room Sessions, I had no idea my schedule was going to get that busy.
Mm-hmm.
So once the album's out, September and October might get full because of circumstance. So my plan is to actually, in the fall, the late fall, to go back south again, depending on a couple of things that might happen. And then I wanted to go meet up with Gerf in Texas and do a quaint little release there as well with the album. I thought that'd be pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
So we might do that in November or December.
You're touring. Do you get to take some of these guys on the road with you?
Well, Dan Walsh has committed his full schedule to me, so that's kind of sweet. I'd like to take both these guys. Scott has his own career to worry about, so he can only do it when it works that we can maybe double bill or something like that. I don't really want to take too much of Scott's time because I'd like to see him push his career forward as well.
Yeah.
But Chris is a sort of a loose cannon. Sometimes he has the time, sometimes he doesn't. But I'd like to bring him whenever possible. Obviously, he's incomparable to me. Like, there's no one that could replace his role.
For sure.
So, these are pretty much the guys I've been playing with for a while, and I don't really want to change it if I can't help it.
Yeah. Just a couple things before we go. You got a website where folks can find out information and buy CDs and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's myname.com, so RamiMaze.com.
RamiMaze.com.
R-O-M-I. You probably know that, though.
Gerf, do you have a website? I don't think you really have one of your own, do you?
I don't have a website. I have
you're on MySpace and all kinds of places.
A friend of mine set up a MySpace page for me. And
you're my friend, just so you know.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we're
Gerf,
friends.
My first friend.
I'll go look at you online.
Sure.
Yeah, I have the MySpace page, and the label has a website, bluecornmusic.com.
Right.
I've been thinking that I should do that for about 5 years now. And
I'll set you up.
It's not a high priority.
I don't know if I need one.
I think through my website there's a link to the Blue Corn link for Gerf, so they could find it through there too.
And do you know when your record will be done? Do you have that penciled in?
Oh, it's done. It's coming out in January.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
You should come up to Winnipeg for a gig.
I would love to.
Yeah,
I'm not sure about January, but...
whenever your release tour allows it, you know.
I'd love to play all across Canada. Maybe next summer.
That'd be awesome. Maybe we can get you the Winnipeg Folk Fest then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's kind of my goal is to do some more of those folk festivals next summer.
Yeah, let's go, group. We're in the row, buddy.
And do you have any other projects coming up that you can tell us about or that you can't tell us about but you will anyway? Anybody you're producing or working with?
I'm going back. Right after I go back, I'm doing a little tour with Tom Russell, who you probably are familiar with. And we ended up playing some party for David Letterman in Montana.
Okay.
On the 3rd of July. And then right after that, I'm heading up. I got that cabin I told you about up in Ontario, and I'm heading up there for the rest of the summer and take some time off. And then when I come back, I'd make another Mary Gaucher record. So.
Oh, really?
So that's my next project.
It won't take as long to come out as her last record did it? Because it was you guys finished it almost over a year before it actually came out.
Yeah, I'm so used to that happening. But I know that we finished it and then we shopped it.
Yeah.
And then she signed the deal and that took forever. It was like a 700-page contract that some lawyer had to read through, and that stuff just takes forever. So, but I'm really used to, you know, my record was done in February and I'm having to wait till January to release it. So.
Excellent.
That doesn't seem that odd to me now.
Anyways, we got to go. We're out of here at 4 o'clock. It's been a real honor and a pleasure having you here.
Well,
and hopefully you'll make it back to Winnipeg again soon. Chris and Scott, thanks as always for coming by. Rami, you're always a treat.
Thank you.
Welcome back anytime.
You're swell too.
June 23rd, High and Lonesome Club, right?
Yeah. If somebody has the inkling to miss it, they're pretty stupid.
Yeah, that's going to be an
amazing
show.
GURPS in Winnipeg, man.
Amazing show. And then you got a bunch of other things. You're playing Country Fest as well, right?
Yeah, right after the album's
and,
done.
And all kinds of other things coming up. So check out RamiMaze.com. GURF, I'm going to go out with one from your record, if you don't mind. We don't have your newest record, but I borrowed a couple from Stu here. We'll play something off Fishing in the Muddy.
Oh, sure.
Do you have a request? Or?
Is I Need You Now on that one?
No, it's not. I don't know. How about Fishing in the Muddy?
Yeah, well, coincidentally, that's the one I actually had queued up.
Ah, good.
Did you bring some CDs to sell? Because your records are impossible to find.
I hate to hear that. I did bring some. They're not here. No. I'd give you one now.
Okay,
but,
make sure you reserve me copies of whatever you got.
I will take care of you.
Maybe I'll take a couple off you before you go, a handful, and make sure the stations get them and stuff.
You should be taken care of.
Good, because they're real hard to find.
I hate hearing that.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll play that. Thanks for being here. We'll be back next Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. Check out telltheband2gohome.com, and thanks.
I'm fishing in the mud. I'm fishing in the mud. I'm fishing in the mud. Whoa, yeah. All night long. It's deep in the mud. It's dark in the mud. It's a heavy in the mud. Whoa, yeah. All night long. Well, I went out looking for the witch of Tottenham. She said, son, you can't. Fishing in the mud. I'm a fishing in the mud. I'm a fishing in the mud.